Today's share in the Dershu Mishnah Berurah Yomi program is Daf Kuf Lamed Aleph Omud Aleph. We're in the fifth volume of Mishnah Berurah. We began yesterday the beautiful siman Tof Kuf Yud Gimel, and we begin with the very bottom line of Kuf Lamed Omud Beis with Sif Gimel and the Mechaber. The Mechaber writes, Beitzo Shenolda B'Yontif. If you have an egg that was laid on Yontif, Sinish Bashla B'Sholgeg, and by accident you use that egg. Yesterday we learned you're not allowed to use that egg. It's Muktzi, you're not allowed to move it, you're not allowed to even touch it, according to some. And this egg was by accident now cooked. It was laid on Yontif, and it was now cooked by accident. In Basar V'Savshel, it was cooked with a dish of whatever food that you cooked it with, meat or some other ingredients. Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat and Vav tells us it had to be done by accident because the Sifkat and Vav says the Imhoya b'mezid. If in fact did it b'mezid, the Mishnah Berurah says lo yamahani le'abitul, then bitul wouldn't help at all. Even though aftu is the rabban, then bitul, as we'll see in a moment, which helps if you did it by accident, will not help if you did it b'mezid. Even though it's an isad rabbanon, as the Kamavura b'yoredei and Siman Tzadi Tes Sif Vav. So these are halachos of bittul. Today we're going to be discussing a little bit, which are much more discussed in the halachos in Yerodea, so we'll be just touching upon some of these important ideas. So if by accident, critical word there again, by accident you cook this egg with meat or another dish, so imyei shishim kenegdo, if we have 60 against it, so therefore we have the concept of batel, by it's not, the taste is not detectable, and that is, the Chachamim said, is a shear of 60 to 1 under normal circumstances. So miyei shishim kenegdo, if there's more than 60 of the other ingredients here against the egg, hakol mutter, everything is allowed to be eaten. We don't say that any of the iser egg imparted its taste into the meat or the other ingredients here. However, chutz min habeitzah, but you can't eat the egg itself. The Mishnah Berurah explains in Sifkat and Zayin, bein shoyis habeitzah shleima uklufa, whether the egg is intact, that shlema uklufa means it's peeled, or, as we'll see after the brackets, ubein shenitrifa, v'nis arvim atavshil, or whether it was scrambled, beaten, and mixed in with the tavshil. In both of these situations, the hakaimalon, the dover sheish lo matirin, lo batilhu, tafka shumin bimino. What the Mishnah Berurah is telling us here is that the only concern that we have for a dover sheish lo matirin is if it's the same species mixed in with the same species. Then we say it's a dover sheish lo matirin, wait till it's going to be heter, and go and eat it beheter. That's the understanding of Rashi. You can see this in Dershu, footnote number 6, where he brings two reasons why a dover sheish lo matirin is different. So the opinion of Rashi is that we say, why eat it be'isser rather than eating beheter? There's another reason that's brought down in the name of the Ran, Ayin in the issue footnote number 6. In any event, what the Mishnah Berurah is telling us over here is that if the egg is peeled, then you have to be concerned that the taste of the egg is going to be around, and unless you have 60 against it, so then you're not allowed to go and eat the rest of the food over here. But if you have 60 against it, then it's not min b'mino, and therefore dover sheish lo matirin doesn't apply. Lo zeh shu min b'sheino mino. That's why it doesn't apply in this situation. Now, I skipped the brackets. I skipped it intentionally because it was easier to read the flow of the Mishnah Berurah by talking about the case where the egg has been peeled, shleimo klufa. Now, read the brackets. The Mishnah Berurah is telling us from Yerodeya that imloisa klufa, if the egg wasn't peeled, it's intact, then it's mutter, haya mutter, afil b'deleka shishmenei. Then you don't need 60 against it. And this is true whether it was benish basil in bosar, whether it was cooked with meat, v'tavshul, or other ingredients, or benish basil in beitzos acher, so even with other eggs. The lo yohiva taima kashib klibasa, because an egg can't exude its tam if it has its shell on it still, and therefore you don't even need batul b'shishim. And this is taught to us kibavor b'yoredeh simen pei vav. Okay, now the Mishnah Berurah continues in Sifkat and Ches. He says you're allowed to eat it in the situation where it's shelled. The egg was cooked in this meat dish or in this other ingredients in this cooked dish, and the egg was shelled, so then you can eat everything else as long as you have 60 against it. But not the egg. Chutz min habeitzah. Mishnah Berurah Sifkat and Ches tells us mashma shabeitzah dain shleima. We're talking about here where the egg is still intact. It's been peeled, but the egg is intact. You put this egg into the chalent, so you can still have the egg intact inside the chalent. It's peeled, egg intact in the chalent. So there's 60 in the chalent against this egg. So the rest of the chalent you can eat. You don't worry about that it has the taste of this egg that's muktza inside of it. But in this situation where the egg is intact, you can eat everything but the egg. In this situation, when it's been cooked with meat, then you can go and eat all the rest of the meat, not the egg. But when it's cooked with other eggs, even though you can recognize your egg, the muktzah egg, the beitzah shenolda, in this situation, all the beitzim are no good because this is min bimino, because this is egg with egg. The min bimino who v'lo batul b'dover sheish lo matirin. Ah, that's what we just said in Sifkat and Zayin, that when you're dealing with min bimino, then we do apply the rules of dover sheish lo matirin. That's the opinion of the Mechaber. However, the Mishmur brings down Avodas Ramon Yeridea Simin Kufbei Siv Dalid Bago. The Ramon over there tells us, no, the Kivin Shurak Tamo Bilvai. Here, it's not really mixed. It's just the taste of this egg that was Beitzah Shenolda is mixed in with the other eggs. V'lo Mamasha Shalissa, not actual Isser itself, just the taste. And even though we say Tam Ki'ikar, but it's still not real Mamashas, Batil. Then the Ramah says, in fact, it is batel in that situation. Afilu b'davashay shalmatirin. As long as you have 60 eggs against it, even though it's min b'mino, and it should be a davashay shalmatirin, but since it's only tam and not mamashas, so the Ramah would disagree with our mechaber over here. And therefore, if the situation is that you won't have simchas yontif, so then you don't have any other food. In this situation, the Mishnah Berurah says, yesh lismoch hazeh. You can rely upon this makel opinion of the Ramah. Then the Mechaber says, "Avol im libnu bo hatavshil v'chayos b'zeh." If you use the egg over here to just give it a whiter color, using the egg for coloring purposes, so then midei the lechazusa v'taima of it lo batel. Since you're using it here for appearances, that's chazusa or taima to specifically add taste. So then you don't say that it's batel in this situation. What are we talking about? Sivkot and tes midei the lechazusa v'taima v'chulei hamogen avram beforish dubin and davka tabayu. The Mogen Avram understands the Mechaber is saying you need both, that you're putting it in there for both looks, appearances, the chazusa and for taste. So then it's not going to be batel. You need chazusa v'taima tarbayu. However, the Shach disagrees with Mogen Avram. Shach Yerodeya in Sim Kufbeis Siv Cotton, hay, and vav, and also v'chein beer agra, the milagones beer shom evarshim nachavana lechazusa all the time. You only need one of the two for this not to be able to be batel, not both of them. Siv cotton yud lo batel. The nechshav ayidezek kimin b'mina, because via doing this you're making it into a situation of min b'mino. And as we've already said several times, v'lo batel b'dover sheish lo matirin. Since it's a dover sheish lo matirin, it's not going to be batel in this situation. The issue footnote number 7 brings out an interesting thought. He says, this beitza is mixed in with this tafshil, but there's 60 against it. So how can you say that it's tama of it, that it gives off taste over here? We have the rule. No sin tam, ad shishim. We say there's a concern for no sin tam until you hit 60. But once you have 60 against it, there's no sin tam. And therefore, it should be perfectly good. So he brings out from the Shulchan Aruch HaRav an interesting idea. He says, shebetziruf minam acherim shel heter. By adding additional heter items here, it does no sin is tam. It does give off its taste. And therefore, this is a situation of min b'mino no sin tam. And therefore, it is dover she'eshlo matirim, and it's not going to be bottom. Okay. Sif Dalet. The Mechaber writes, Mutter lichvos olel kli kedesh olish shuaber. You have this beishan old biyantiv. It's now sitting there. You don't want somebody to step on it and break it. You're allowed to put a kli on top of it in order that it shouldn't be broken. Mishabur explains the sivkot yud aleph. I will also litin tachtel kli, but you can't put a utensil or kli underneath it to catch it as it comes out of the chicken. Beisha tarnagolus mitilasa. When the chicken lays the egg, don't put some sort of a kli underneath it. Shatibobo, that will fall into this kli. It won't break. You put it into a soft kli, and it won't break. And this way, it'll be protected that way, because you're not allowed to do this. Tarihi muktza, because the egg is muktza. And therefore, you're going and ruining this kli. This kli was perfectly usable, but now it's holding inside of it a davar muktza, so the kli wouldn't be allowed to be moved. And we learned this already previously in Hilchos Shabbos, Lel Sim Shin Yud Siv Vav. The issue footnote number 10 reminds us, now, you're just putting the kli underneath the chicken. The chicken's doing the laying of the egg, so you're not being mavato the kli directly. It's becoming indirectly muktza when the egg falls into it, so maybe that would be allowed. So Shlomo Zalman Zatzal brings down in the Michel Shlomo, Shechachamim Gozru. The rabbis issued a decree over here that we should consider this like you're making the kli or taking down the kli, even when it's not yet having the muktza in it, but if the muktza will fall into it, we have a concern with this as well. Now we go back to the Mechaber. The Mechaber writes, Ubovad shel yiga bo hakli. But when you put the kli on top of this, you have to make sure that you don't touch the egg with this kli. Why not? The Mishmur explains, it's sifkon yud beis, the matzur lisnaneh, because as we pointed out in yesterday's share, the egg rolls. And therefore, if you touch it, it may roll. And therefore, you're moving it. The matzur lisnaneh abeitz ayedei negiyah koshu. The egg will be, by a little touch, could roll, b'mei shiagula, because it's round, and therefore, it could roll. Therefore, you should be careful not to touch it. Sifhei, the Mechaber writes, Im noldu b'yontiv rishon, if an egg is laid on the first day of yontiv, in a two-day yontiv in chutz laretz, so then muteres b'yontiv sheni. That's permissible then to use this egg on the second day of yontiv, when you're dealing here, b'shnei yom tov shogolis, the regular two yontiv days of either Pesach, Sukkos, or Shavuos in Chutz La'aretz. However, Avol b'shnei yomim tovim shel Rosh Hashanah, but the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, which is not a Sveika D'Yoma, according to some, it's Kedusha Riachta, it's one long day, so then you're not allowed to go and use the egg on the second day. And certainly, v'chei b'shabbos v'yontim, asmuch v'zelzeh, when Shabbos comes out next to Yontiv, the Yontiv is Sunday, your Yontiv is Friday, so no l'bazeh, asur b'zeh. Then certainly we say, both by Rosh Hashanah, by Shabbos and Yontiv together, either Shabbos and Yontiv or Yontiv and Shabbos, that one day is not allowed to prepare for the other day, and therefore it would be usur to use it on the second day of Yontiv. However, in the situation where it's Yontiv Sheni Shulgalios, so if it's Tuesday, Wednesday, or Pesach, Sukkos, or Shavuos, you could have the egg that was laid on the Tuesday be eaten on the Wednesday because of a Miman of Shach that we'll say in a moment in the Mishnah Berurah. Sivkot and Yud Gimel, the Mishnah Berurah says, Hainu Belel Yontiv Sheni. You could even already eat this egg on the night of Yontiv Sheni. Shari Miman of Shach. Here's the Miman of Shach that I said. Ech mehemu chol. One of these 2 days is chol. So if, let's say it's Tuesday, Wednesday. So if Tuesday was chol, so then you're not being mechin on Tuesday for Wednesday. So you can eat it on Wednesday. That's chol being mechin for Wednesday. And if Tuesday was yontif, then Wednesday's chol. So no problem to eat the egg on Wednesday. Mishnah Berurah Sivkot Yudalid. Mipnei Sheshnei Hayam Mehem Kodesh. By Rosh Hashanah, however, both days are considered Kedusha. Ukiyom Echod Aruch Hein Chashuvim. They're considered like one long holy day, a 48-hour single day. And you're not allowed to go and eat it on either of the 2 days. The issue footnote number 13 brings down Shekivon Shemash Nogim Yontiv Sheni B'Shnei Yimei Rosh Hashanah Eino Machmas Sofik, that the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah is not because of a Sofik Sveika D'Yoma. We know exactly when Rosh Hashanah is. Im Kein L'Chol Yom Yesh Kedusha V'Ni'atzmo. So each day is a separate actual Kedusha of itself. U'Kshem Sh'Osu L'Hochin Yom Tov L'Shabbos, and you're not allowed to go, and as we said in the Mechaber, go and prepare on Yontiv Shabbos, so too you can't prepare from the first day of Yontiv to the second day of Yontiv, because here this is 2 separate holy days. So we consider the first day a day of Kedusha, not because of Sveika D'Yoma. We consider the second day a day of Kedusha, not because of Sveika D'Yoma. And therefore, you can't prepare from Yontif to Shabbos, or Shabbos to Yontif, or Yontif to Yontif. In this situation, the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are considered 2 halachic separate Kedushos. Okay. The Mishnah Berurah continues, and he says, and Sivkot Yudalid, Ubisofik Imnolda Biyontiv Rishon, if in fact is a Sofik, whether it was laid on the first day of Yontif, then Mutter Ach Biyontiv Sheni Rosh Hashanah, then we're allowed to eat it in the second day of Rosh Hashanah. Ken Kosov Knesset Gedola, this is the opinion of the Knesset Gedola, because it's a Sveika on the first day, so therefore you can have it on the second day. However, the Ola Shabbos is Machmir and says no. Sivkot and Tezvav, the Mishnah says, Asmuchu Zelazev, you have Yontif and Shabbos together, either Yontif is Sunday or Yontif is Friday, so you can't do it because it's preparing Yontif for Shabbos or Shabbos for Yontif. And this is true, Mishnah Berurah says, Sivkot and Tezvav, Bein Shu Yom Tov Achar Shabbos or Shabbos Achar Yontif. As I said, it doesn't make a difference whether Sunday is Yontif or Friday is Yontif. And Sivkot and Tezayin, it's Asur Bezeh, you're not allowed to eat it on the second day, whichever the second day is, whether the second day is Yontif or the second day is Shabbos. And this is true, Ado Erev, until the following night. Because in this situation, when it was laid on the first of the 2 days, let's say it's Shabbos and Sunday, Sunday is Yontif. So then when it was laid on Shabbos, now the egg is able to be eaten. And if we allow you to eat it, so then Shabbos is preparing for Sunday. And we have a rule that Shabbos doesn't prepare for Yontif, and Yontif doesn't prepare for Shabbos. Now the Ramah adds, Hagah, Vim Yom Tov, Biyom Rishon, Sheni, Vinolda, Bishabbos Shelifneiyam. If you have Yontif that's on Sunday, Monday, in Chutz La'aretz, so then Shabbos is the day beforehand, so Mutu Biyom Sheni, Shel Golios. Then here on Monday, it would be permissible if it was laid on Shabbos. Now, why is that? Mishnah Berurah explains in Sivkot Yud Zayin, Lafuke is opposed to, Im Yontif Hayo Biyom Shabbos Kodesh, Biyom Rishon. If it was a Shabbos, it was also Yontif. So Yontif in Chutz La'aretz was Shabbos and Sunday. Then you can have it. Also be Yom Rishon. Then you can have it on Sunday. After Yom Tov Sheni Shel Yontif, even though it's the second day of Yontif, because the Shema Hayom Kodesh, because we have to be concerned that maybe the Sveika D'Yoma, that the first day of Yontif, which was Shabbos, wasn't really Yontif. Of course, it's still Shabbos. And it's only the second day that's the day of Yontif. And therefore, Shabbos will be Mechon for Yontif, and it's not allowed. Sivkot Yud Ches. But when you have over here Shabbos and then Sunday Yontif, and Monday Yontif. So then we said you can have the egg that was laid on Shabbos on Monday. Why is that? The Miman of Shach. The Mishnah Berurah says, because you have a Miman of Shach over here. Im Hayom Rishon Oya Kodesh, if Sunday in fact was Kodesh, so then Monday Hayom Chol. Monday is Chol, so therefore no problem in having it. Im Hayom Kodesh, and if in fact Monday is Kodesh, so then Esmol Shkishon Oda Hoya Chol. When it was laid yesterday, the Dershu footnote number 18 brings down from a Waldenberg Shlita that we're talking here that it really means, Esmol means Mitmol Shel Shom. It means really on Shabbos. It doesn't mean yesterday. If the egg was laid on Shabbos, so then Sunday was Chol. So therefore, there's no problem. It's not preparing now Shabbos for Yontif. It's a situation where the egg on Sunday is really Chol. And therefore, there's no problem in having it on Monday. So, Kishinolda Hayachol. Again, what he's saying over here is that when you have this 2-day Yontif, it's Sveka the Yoma, so Sunday, Mimon Shach, if Sunday was Yontif, no problem having the egg on Monday. And if Sunday, in fact, was Chol, so then there's no problem having the egg on Monday, because it was Chol, and therefore there's no problem Chol being Mechon for Yontif. Sivkon Yotes, we're talking here about Yontif Sheni Shel Golios, Lafuke is, again, as opposed to Shel Rosh Hashanah, the Shneihem, Kiyom Echot Aruch, as we pointed out, that's considered like one long day of Yontif. Af Biyom Sheni, also, and then on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, it would still be Aser. And he says this would apply. If you had Thursday, Friday Rosh Hashanah, as the calendar can come out, and the egg was laid on Yom Chamishi, it wouldn't be allowed to be eaten on Friday, and certainly wouldn't be allowed to be eaten on Shabbos, all for the same reasoning. It would be Shabbos, it would be Mechon for Shabbos on Yontif. You're not allowed to have Yontif Mechon for Shabbos, or Shabbos Mechon for Yontif. Now we go to Sif Vav. The Chabad writes, "Beitz shiotz ruba me'erev yontif. If an egg came mostly out of the chicken on erev yontif, then v'chazri, then it was pulled back inside. It didn't fully come out, but most of it came out. So it's considered leida, but it's then back inside. V'achakach nol b'yontif, and then it actually fully comes out on yontif. Then it's muteris. Then you're allowed to eat this egg. The Mishnah Berurah explains sivkon chav because the kivin shiotz ruba, since once the majority of the egg came out, harei kiluda. It's considered like it was laid, and therefore it was laid on." Chol, and therefore there's no problem eating this egg. It's not called the Beit Shinol B'yantiv. Ulefikach, therefore the Mechaber says, Afilu bodak bekiner shel tarnegolas erev yontif, somuch l'chashecha. If you checked the chicken coop right before chashecha, so right before yontif starts, you checked it, v'lo motzo b'beitza, and you didn't find an egg in it, ulemachar hishkim, and the next day you get up early in the morning before the egg could be laid. We have a rule that chickens don't lay their eggs at night when there are roosters around. So therefore, you checked right before night started, and there's no egg there, and then you checked in the morning before the sun rose. So therefore, there is no chance that the egg could be laid at night, and you find an egg over there, umotza b'beitza, then it's clear, muteris, that this egg is absolutely good. Shetarnagolus eno yoledz b'layla, it certainly can't give birth at night, and therefore, v'anutolin, in this situation, we can say the unusual situation occurred. Shemei esmo yotz, it actually came out before yontif started. Ruba, most of it came out, b'chazer, and then it went back inside. Now, let's understand this a little bit better by looking at the Mishnah Berurah, sivkon chafala. Hainu, kodim olas hashach. Before the dawn, I think I said a moment ago, the sun rising, it really should have been dawn. So in between the sun setting and the sun dawn occurring, chickens do not lay their eggs if there are roosters around. That's the rule. Therefore, in this situation, if you didn't have an egg there right before Yontif started, so then there's no way it was laid during the nighttime. And therefore, we would say in this situation, we rely upon the unusual situation that the egg was partially laid, majority of it was laid, and then it went back inside, and then it came out. That's considered laid on Erev Yontif and not Yontif. But if you check after Olas HaShachar, Dimli Achal Kach, if you check after Olas HaShachar, then maybe it was laid after Olas HaShachar. Tulina Shayom Yodah, it's more likely that it was laid that morning. The Yotzah Aruba V'chazul Ushchiyah, because to say that it was mostly laid Erev Yontif and then went back inside and then came out overnight, that's an unusual situation. And therefore, if it was found after Olas HaShachar, we presume it was laid in the morning. Sivkon Chavbeis, the Mechaber said that chickens don't lay eggs at night when there are roosters around. So, Eino Yeledz B'Layla, why? The Kosh Tashmish B'Yom, animals that copulate during the day, so no Ladrak B'Yom, they tend to give birth only during the daytime. V'Tarnego Tashmish B'Yom, and chickens, they have relations during the day. Therefore, their eggs will be laid during the day. V'Av, the Imatarnegolus Mischamemes Minakarka, but what about chickens that go and fertilize their eggs, not from roosters? Tucha Lele Lefamim, they can actually lay the eggs, Af Belaila, even at nighttime. We don't rely upon this. We don't say this. Because there is a rooster, even in another house, far away, at least within 60 houses worth. So here's the rooster, so it doesn't want the egg to be fertilized from the ground. It is kekis, the tarnagol, and it wants to be instead with the tarnagol and have a fertilized egg be brought. We're going to see in tomorrow's shir that it's talking about it. There's a rooster, but it's not able to get to because of there's no bridge. Then it will cross the bridge. So if there's a rooster around, the presumption is the chicken will not give birth to the egg at night. With that, we conclude today's shir.